May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 892. Art thou by sin a captive led? Is sin thy daily grief? The man who break the serpent's head can bring thee sweet relief. Hymn 892.
Thank you. Let's read together from the Word of God, from the book of Proverbs, reading together from chapter 14, the book of Proverbs, reading together from chapter 14. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. He that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord, but he that is perverse in his ways despiseth him. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. Where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increase is by the strength of the ox. A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not, but knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. Go from the presence of a foolish man, and thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favour. The heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. The evil bow before the good, and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. The poor is hated even of his own neighbour, but the rich hath many friends. He that despiseth his neighbour sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. Do they not err that devise evil? But mercy and truth shall be to them that devise good. In all labour there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. The crown of the wise is their riches, but the foolishness of fools is folly. A true witness delivereth souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. In the multitude of people is the king's honour, but in the want of people is the destruction of the prince. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. He that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker, but he that honoureth him hath mercy on the poor. The wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous hath hope in his death. Wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding, but that which is in the midst of fools is made known. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The king's favour is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him that causeth shame. May the Lord bless that reading of his word to us and teach us how to pray before him. O Lord, our God, once more, in thy rich mercy, thou hast preserved us and watched over us in the intervening period of time, and that we are enabled to come again to the means of grace this evening hour. O Lord, let it not be a burden for us to come. Lord, remove all stumbling blocks from our path, any hindrance, any distraction. Help us to draw near to thee, and with that poor and contrite spirit that thou wilt look down upon and take knowledge of, even the work of thine own hands. And Lord, look upon us, and may we know what it is this evening hour again to turn to thee, to be found at thy feet, and ready to serve thee and to worship thee, and praying, Lord, that thou wilt open our hearts, and again to hear and to receive thy word mixed with faith. We thank thee, Lord, that thou hast been with us to keep us and to preserve us. And we think, Lord, all our journeyings thus far, thou hast been that one to go before us in the way. Thou hast shown thyself in thy faithfulness and in thy truth towards us, that thou wilt never leave us nor forsake us. And this is our mercy, Lord, our mercy indeed, because we, Lord, are so changeable. Lord, we easily turned aside, we have wandering hearts, Lord. We soon are brought into Bypass Meadow. And Lord, we know so many changes. We soon grow cold and faint. And Lord, our poor minds, Lord, are gathered unto all manner of thing. But we thank thee, Lord, for the constancy of thy grace. We thank thee, Lord, for thine everlasting, unchangeable love to us. And as we were unable to read in thy word this morning, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And O Lord, we thank thee that whilst, Lord, we pass through many changes, that thou art the same, Jesus Christ, same yesterday and today and forever. And Lord, this is our mercy, something for our poor faith to rest upon, thy truth and thy promises. And O Lord, we thank thee for the mercy that thou dost not treat us, Lord, as we deserve. We're deserving, Lord, to be those, indeed unworthy, that thou should take any notice of us at all. We do believe that it was a truth that thy servant Jacob was brought into the experience of, unworthy of the least of all the mercy and truth which thou hast shown unto thy servant. And Lord, we stand unworthy before thee, when we think, Lord, of thy gracious hand towards us all our journey through. Yes, we have seen many changes, passed through many dark dispensations, discovered many disappointments, brought to pass into many sorrows, brought, Lord, into afflictive times and seasons. And, O Lord, we do thank thee that thou art that one alone that hath been with us to uphold us and to keep us, and that we can truly repeat the words time and again, that thou hast done all things well. Yea, thy will concerning us and the path that thou hast ordained for us, help us to walk through that path, to pass through that path. It was a difficult path for thy servant Job. It wasn't a comfortable path. It wasn't an easy path. Many difficulties found in that path. But he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. O Lord, what humbleness of heart and mind was found in that dear man. Passed through many difficulties and many trials, and the added burden of his friends that came supposedly to strengthen him and support him, and yet seemed that they were those that were unable to realize the path that he was brought to pass through. And Lord, we pray that we might be helped to continue in the path that thou hast ordained for us, to uphold us and to keep us in the way, and that our faith fail not, and that we shall be brought to see that thou art faithful who hath promised. And we pray that we might be helped to lean upon thee and to trust in thy name alone for all things. So do, Lord, be that one to give to us thankful hearts. Thou hast brought us thus far in our pilgrimage journey. And, O Lord, we have known and realized thine unchanging love towards us. And we pray that we might be helped to walk humbly all our days here below, under thee, under that gracious blessing of submission to thee, to thy mind and will in all things, and to know that thou knowest best the things that are good for us. And thou knowest best, Lord, the way to recover us and to bring us back when we're turned to foolishness and folly. And this is our mercy, Lord. O Lord, help us, Lord, to give unto thee the glory which is thy due. Help us to exalt thee in our poor and imperfect way. Help us to give thee the preeminence in all things, setting thee always before us in every part and aspect of our lives. And in this way, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And we do pray, Lord, as thou wilt, Lord, be that one to bring judgments upon us. For Lord to recover us, to bring us back, to chasten us, to correct us, to show that thou dost love us. And Lord, we do pray that we might submit to thy will. So help us each, Lord, in that path that thou hast ordained for us. And may we see thy gracious hand in everything going before us. May we never be brought to consider Lord, that those things that have come upon us and in our path, may we not blame any other. But thy servant Job said that he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, divine appointment. And Lord, we pray that we may not blame any other in respect of those things that are indeed wrought in our path for us. But Lord, that we may not charge thee foolishly in respect of these things. But Lord, to see that thou art in everything and in every part of our lives, not a time and a season, and thou art not with thy people. So help us to continue, Lord, in the way, and be with us, Lord, in all our path before us. It is an unknown path, an uncertain path, many dangers on every side, temptations, the world, worldliness. And Lord, we have no might or strength against these things. We're poor, Lord. We're needy, Lord. And we're those, Lord, and we do hope that thou hast blessed us with that humbleness and humility of heart and of mind, that we should be like unto thee and follow thee and resemble thee. And we do pray, Lord, that it may be thus with us. And so, Lord, help us to continue to persevere through faith unto the end, and that thou wilt, Lord, be that one to go before us, to conduct us in thy love and fear, to teach us all thy will in all things. And may we know, Lord, the throne of grace. May we know, Lord, that venturing our all upon thee, coming boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. O Lord, we do thank thee, Lord, that thou wilt never leave thy people to traverse this wilderness here below, alone and without thee. And Lord, this is our mercy indeed. O Lord, only thou canst bring us through our course, an unknown path. Help us, Lord, to live each day unto thee by faith, calling upon thy name, seeking thee, Lord, thy will, thy direction, thy leadership and governance over us. And help us to follow thee, Lord, in thy word and in thy truth. And we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt direct us in all our ways, that we might commit, Lord, our all unto thee. And Lord, many, Lord, in this time and season of the year, when some of our young people have obtained their results and so forth, and O Lord, we do pray, give them grace and wisdom, that they may go forth, Lord, and seek to do thy will, and help them prayerfully to come to the throne of grace. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And O Lord, we do pray that thou wilt come to them. And what a mercy it is, Lord, to know that thou art that one who doth lead us forth in providence, and that thou dost show to us, Lord, that way that thou wilt have us to go. And Lord, we do pray that we might wait upon thee prayerfully, for that thou wilt speak to us through thy word and direct us in our path. So Lord, come to our young people that have gathered, and their path before them, Lord, to undertake for them. Come to all their help and all their aid. And Lord, help them to come to thee at the throne of grace, not to be ashamed of thee, Lord. But Lord, help them that they might be enabled, Lord, to go forth in thy name. And so we commit them into thine ever merciful hands. And we pray Lord, that thou knowest and hearest our prayers in respect of these things, how that we pray, Lord, for those many that have found in the means of grace and have now come to great age, and Lord, as it were, upon the edge of eternity, and yet, Lord, still seeking to know their peace and pardon through thy blood. O Lord, we do pray for them, thou knowest, and we commit them unto thee. O, that thou wilt come to them, Lord. O eternity, Lord. O, it is that, Lord, without measurement. But Lord, O, we do pray. O, that they might know thy redeeming love and blood, blessed to their souls. O, that thou wouldest appear for them. O, that thou wouldest cause them, Lord, to rejoice in thy salvation. Remove all their sorrowing and mourning from their spirit, and cause their souls to spring out in joy and peace in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray thee. O, eternity before each one of us, Lord. We do not know, Lord, the number of days that thou wilt give to us upon the earth. O, but Lord, we do pray. Help each one of us to come to thee, to know thy rich mercy, that mercy that flows through thy precious blood, and that precious blood that doth for sin atone, and that sin, Lord, whatever it might be, Lord, the multitude of our sins, all the atrocities of our lives, O Lord, that precious blood that is able to save and able to redeem and able to cleanse and heal, O Lord, may it be the blessing. O, we pray that it may be to each and every one here, Lord. O, we would not be faithful servants, Lord, if we did not have a watchfulness over the souls of those that are before us. And we do pray, Lord, O, that thou wilt, Lord, come. O, and that they might know that set time to favour Zion, that set time where, Lord, thou wilt speak peace and pardon into their souls, and to know the precious blood of Jesus, its cleansing, healing in their souls. O Lord, we do pray, appear then and bless. And everyone here, Lord, the youngest to the eldest, and each and every one that gather, we pray thee. Who be with those that are unable to attend with us this evening hour for many varied reasons, we prayerfully commit them, dear Lord, into thine ever merciful hands, that thou wilt be with them where they are. Draw near to their needs spiritually, Lord, and Lord, that they may also know the blessing and the truth, thy presence with them. Thou wilt not leave thy people comfortless. I will come unto you. Lord, may they know the blessing. And Lord, we pray, be with us now, Lord, we wait upon thee. My soul wait thou only upon God. And O Lord, we come before thee, waiting upon thee, for our expectation is from thee. And Lord, what a mercy it is if we have come this evening hour with an expectation that thou wilt speak a word in season to our souls, that thou wilt, Lord, show thyself again to be our Saviour and Redeemer, confirming us in the faith and love of Jesus, and blessing us with the words of eternal life in our souls. O, do come, Lord Jesus. Send none empty away this evening hour, we pray thee, but fill them with thy goodness, for only thou satisfiest the longing soul and fillest the hungry soul with goodness. So, Lord, do hearken to our prayers and petitions and the prayers of thy people that are offered up in this thy house of prayer, week by week. O Lord, do hear them. Give answers of peace. We pray thee. Now we pray for thy help, Lord, that thou wilt show thy servant what to say, what to speak, and in thy name, and let it be Christ that is seen and beheld in the pulpit, and not the creature, that the preaching of the word may be to thy glory, and that thou wilt, by through and through thy Spirit, take thy word and apply it to the souls of thy people, that they also might be blessed. And we seek and ask these mercies in and through the name and person of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn 893. If guilt pursue thee with its cry, and would to prison hail, to Jesus Christ the surety fly, and he will give in bail. Hymn 893.
Thank you.
seeking the help of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, seek to draw your attention to the book of Proverbs, chapter 14, that we read together. We'll read together from verse 26 and 27. Proverbs chapter 14, reading from verse 26 and 27. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. My main thoughts were really towards the 26th verse, but as there is a continuance of this fear of the Lord, if the Lord give us a little time, we may just be able to open up one or two truths in respect of verse 27. What a mercy that we have these blessings and these truths shown to us in the word of the Lord. Something that can help us in our journeyings through this pilgrimage journey. That we have someone to turn to. Someone that we can lean upon. Someone that we can entrust our all upon. And know that he will never fail and forsake his people. And this is the mercy that we have in these words of our text. Somewhere, dear friends, that the poor, weak and helpless and the poor of the Lord's people can go. And to know that in all our weakness and in all our own insufficiency in and of ourselves, that we have an almighty hand and arm that we can lean upon and trust in everything that concerns us in our lives here below, everything. And we do need the Lord at all times, all places, all seasons. And we pray that we may not be left to ourselves to try and connive our way through this wilderness journey. We've got too many enemies round about us, dear friends. We cannot come through them. They're stronger than we are. That humbleness and humility that the Lord showed to his disciples this morning and to us also, it was to keep them in weakness so that they should always look to him to be the all-sufficient one for them. Oh, we're never intended to depend and to trust in ourselves as we continue in our pilgrimage journey here below. Always to look to the Lord. Always to come to his word. This is where he speaks to us. This is where he gives us divine strength and instruction. This is where we're brought to look to him who has promised that he will always be with his people, always one near at hand, one that we can always turn to in every moment of time, in an instant. He's waiting to come to our help, waiting to come to all our needs, the dear Lord Jesus. And dear friend, he wants us to come to him. He wants us to depend upon him. He wants us to put all our faith in him. Dear friends, that's what he wants us to do. He's sat, dear friends, at the right hand of the Father to manage for thee, to manage for me, to take all our concerns upon himself, so that we've got nothing to do. And this is our mercy. And to do all this, dear friends, we have a word here that should be so needful to us. The fear of the Lord. Oh, may we each know it. I do believe that this fear of the Lord, when the Lord will meet with us in the way, and friends, he knows who his people are, even from before the foundation of the world. He knows who his people are, his children. They're spoken of here, his children. Dear friends, this truth, when the Lord will meet with them. And as we just tried to hint this morning, and he will meet with them. He will meet with them. He will change them. He will bring them to himself. Their names are written in heaven. A covenant of grace was made in respect of them, that not one of them should be lost, not one of them should perish, that they should be enclosed in the covenant of grace. And think of it, when we're born into this world, though born dead in trespasses and in sins, this covenant of grace was round the Lord's dear people, every one of them, in a very real and personal way. His covenant of grace enclosed them. They're his children, remember. And that covenant of grace was made in respect of them, that in due time, in due course, the Lord will come. He will meet with them and show them his love and mercy. And when he begins to work in us, that good work begun in the heart, when he will begin to show to us our sins and iniquities, the knowledge of them, when he will bring guilt upon our consciences, dear friends, we will know this, that the work of grace, and it's a supernatural work, dear friend. Those things that will come upon us that we've never known, never experienced, never understood before, the knowledge of our sin. Oh, dear friends, sin never affected us, never troubled us, never burdened us. When that work of his grace will begin, dear friends, and we're brought to a knowledge of our sins, it is intended to afflict us and to burden us in our souls. And then, dear friends, we will begin to realize, and this fear of the Lord, I believe, will be mingled in to the experience, that we begin to take knowledge that it is a divine power, a divine work, a supernatural work in the soul of a poor sinner. That is the truth. We'll begin to take knowledge of God in many ways. It may be first a slavish fear, his just judgment upon us in respect of our sins, deserving to us, the hell that is deserving to us, the punishment for sin that is due to us. And dear friends, we will begin to take a knowledge of these things. It may be a slavish fear to begin with, and I mean it by this way. When Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, that wonderful sermon that changed the heart of 3,000, he spake this truth. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, dear friends. It may have begun a slavish fear. It may have been a slavish fear, and I believe it was, in respect of the Philippian jailer. Sirs, what must I do to be saved, fearing and trembling? But Paul, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and all his house. And then he preached unto him Jesus. And I believe that this slavish fear then would begin to work into a filial fear, a reverence of God, that it is God that has begun with you, and God that is working in you by and through his Spirit and his power to lead the poor sinner to the blessing of salvation in the person of the dear Lord Jesus Christ, his dearly beloved Son. And this fear of the Lord, dear friends, will be an affection and a work of the Holy Spirit. It will abide in the soul as long as the sinner lives. This fear of the Lord, it is a fear, dear friends, that will reverence God, take knowledge of God, behold God, see God as their all and everything. It will reverence him in true worship. It will reverence him, the throne of grace, this fear of the Lord. It will honour him. It will glorify him. Because this fear of the Lord is in the soul of a poor sinner, to take knowledge of God and all his ways, to take knowledge of his word and his truth, the fear of the Lord, as it were, to tremble at his word, the fear of the Lord, a reverential fear. And it will be a God-honouring fear, a fear, dear friends, that will bring us nearer to him, closer to him, and away from ourselves, away from our own strength. The Lord has consumed it from us. That is the idea of this fear of the Lord, that we're never to rest in ourselves, never to look to ourselves, never to have any hope and trust in ourselves. Never. This fear of the Lord is to bring us near to him and to look to him for everything. And this, in the fear of the Lord, is strong confidence. And this confidence, this word confidence, it means trust. Another helpful word may be hope, but it means this, that all our trust and all our hope, all our confidence is not in man, not in the creature, not in ourselves, not in any other arm of flesh. No, it is in God. And what a mercy it is. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. And we will need this fear of the Lord and this strong confidence, because we shall pass through many experiences here below. Many experiences. The path that the Lord has ordained for us. Dear friends, yes, sometimes we may be blessed and to come upon the mountain tops and to enjoy a sweet union and a communion with the Lord. We may have come to the Lord's house and the Lord has blessed a word to our souls, and he has lifted up our poor heads and strengthened us inwardly and spiritually in our souls. Yes, this is the fear of the Lord. a strong confidence. It's a confidence strong in the soul of a poor sinner. And then there may be a passing through the valleys. Times of adversity brought to pass through. Times of difficulty, times of trial. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. How shall we come through them? By ourselves. It has never been intended, dear friends, that we should pass through this earthly scene without Jesus. No, never. Just one or two thoughts in respect of this fear of the Lord being a strong confidence. And we have it in this way first. It may be that this fear of the Lord It may be tried. It was with Abram. The Lord bid him that he should take his son and see the emotional side of it. Thine only son. Take him. Offer him to be a sacrifice. Take him. Offer him. Dear friends, see this truth. See the fear of the Lord. This fear that was worked by love in the soul of Abraham. Thine only son. Think of it. And Abram rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. Dear friends, this fear of the Lord going to be proven. And Abram went forth and offered him up a sacrifice. And oh, dear friends, you see, Abraham, his love, his faith was proved. Dear friends, it was fixed upon his God. It wasn't upon himself. It was fixed upon the promise of God in this way, that he was his only son. And this truth in respect of Abraham, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. His only begotten son. And then this truth, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That was the promise. And Abraham held on to that promise. And dear friends, if his life was taken upon that sacrifice, then he knew this truth, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. And friends, that fear of the Lord, that love, was proved. It was sound. It was fixed and steadfast in the Lord his God. Oh, dear friends, how he loved him. How he was able to abide in his faithful word and promise. You know, he was the seed of the promise. Dear friends, he would have to be raised up from the dead. But his faith was fixed in what God had said. And this, dear friends, is the blessing and the mercy that belonged to Abraham in the fear of the Lord. His strong confidence. And friends, there may be those times and seasons when we shall have to prove that our faith, our love for the Lord, may be tested. And what a mercy, dear friends, if we can rely wholly upon him and entrust everything to him. Because that is what this word confidence means. It means trust. Trust. Confidence. And then we have another truth in respect of this. And I didn't want to pass by this thought. But David, when he returned to Ziklag, it was all burned. There was nothing left. Wives, families, children, all gone. And his men were round about him, sorrowing, crying, the loss. And they thought to stone David. David was a man alone. Did he have anyone to turn to? Was his help to be found? He was a man alone, ready to stone him. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And dear friends, if we think that we have no one, if we think that we're alone, dear friends, there is one. One to whom we can turn to. And one who will never let down his people. No. He will never fail them. Never forsake them. No. And you see, it's the effect of these things, isn't it? In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. It's the effect of these things, as it was with Abraham. His love was proven. It was tried. And what a mercy that all was recovered in respect of David, because he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Turned to his God. And we may think also of Hezekiah, another faithful king. But remember this, as David, as Abraham, as Hezekiah, they have no strength of their own, dear friends. No, it has been weaned from them. Grace has weaned their own strength from them. Never intended that we should turn to any help but the Lord. Sennacherib was invading Judah. And then when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come, that he was purposed to fight against Jerusalem, he took counsel with his princes. And he built, and he stopped the waters of the fountains, which were without the city. And all his men did help him. And they gathered much people together who stopped the fountains. And then he also built the walls, raised up and built the wall that was broken and raised it up to the towers. And then this truth. When he'd done all that, he came to his people and he said, "Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. For there be more with us than with him." Who was it that was with Hezekiah and Judah? There is more with us. There wasn't really, literally, but there was, dear friends. His God, his Lord, was with him. Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the multitude that is with him, for there is more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh. Ah, dear friends. An arm of flesh. How weak man is by nature. We think we're strong. But dear friends, this truth. With him is an arm of flesh. But with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And then this word, and the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. And then there's the outcome. The fear of the Lord is strong confidence. That was what it was with Hezekiah. And then the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, from the hand of all other, and guided them on every side. Hezekiah's Lord and God is our Lord and God today. Oh yes, same Lord and God. And dear friends, we may have enemies about us. Yes, always will have, to the end of our days. Certainly Satan and all his agents, his emissaries, or and so forth. But then also I thought of this word in respect of when David was brought to flee into the wilderness due to his son Absalom being a usurper and taking his throne. How can we be settled in our poor minds? David in the wilderness, how can we feel comfortable? How can we have any peace in our poor hearts? Brought to flee from his throne. How can we find any rest and any sleep? David entrusted his all into the Lord his God. And he said thus, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000 of people that have set themselves against me round about. And I just noticed a word in the early parts of the Proverbs which may have been a promise to the Lord's dear people. If I can just find it. That the Lord would be one that would be near to his people. And it was connected with the laying down and finding sleep and rest. Verse 24, chapter 3. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. You see, David's confidence, it was in the Lord. And dear friends, he was able to rest his all in and upon him. You know, dear friends, when troubles and trials and dark dispensations come into our lives, we cannot seem to rest in our poor minds. We cannot be comfortable. And dear friends, to find and try and sleep through these things is most difficult, isn't it? But all this in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, looking wholly to him alone. And dear friends, he is the only helper of his people, none other. Oh, he has laid help upon one that is mighty. Oh, the dear Lord Jesus, all our help and all our need in him. I couldn't pass by this word in respect of this either. And see this word here, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. And they were to pass through the fiery furnace, dear friends. Think of their situation. They were not going to worship this this golden image that was set forth. No, this fear of the Lord, this love of the Lord, this confidence and this trust was in their Lord. They looked to him. And you see, the word in respect of this, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. No, they weren't afraid for themselves, dear friends. They were completely under the will and the help of the Lord. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. They knew, oh, this confidence, this trust, they knew that he was able to deliver them. And dear friends, he is. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything impossible for him? Is there anything that he cannot do? Nothing. Oh, it must be an encouragement for us, surely, to come to the Lord. If so be our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. They were completely under the sovereign will of their Lord. But see their love and their devotion to him. Oh, their faith was steadfast, dear friends, in the fear of the Lord, his strong confidence. Oh, this fear of the Lord, a gracious affection of the Holy Spirit in the soul. And it is fixed there, dear friends. And it relies and depends alone upon God. And then the outcome of it is this. And he answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. The Lord came to their need, dear friends. See the wonderful work there. This truth. And the princes, the governors, and the captains, and the king's counselors being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Naturally speaking, dear friends, everything spoken there was an impossibility, wasn't it? But not with the Lord. They passed through that fiery furnace, dear friends, as though it hadn't been there. Yes, the fire never kindled upon them, never touched them, never singed their hair. No smell of fire, no smell of burning. Just one more thought, and I just go to the Gospels, dear friends. Speak of Paul. Paul passed through many trials and many difficulties. But in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and we must, as we read the Acts of the Apostles and also his word, pastoral letter to Timothy, we have this truth in respect of him. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Dear friends, This poor man was ready, wasn't he? This fear of the Lord. Oh, see how it was wonderfully wrought in his soul. This strong confidence. The whole matter, dear friends, of those that persecuted him, those that the counsels of men against him. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Wonderful truth, isn't it? this fear of the Lord. It held him, didn't it? It held him close to his Lord. Whatever his circumstances were, dear friends, however much seemed to be against him, he had this truth. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Oh, dear friends, we may think of those martyrs that passed through the burnings, dear friends. I have kept the faith. Oh, this truth in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, a trust in the Lord. And then, henceforth, this is the outcome of his faith, dear friends. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. The fear of the Lord, worked by love, this fear of the Lord, centered in the person of the dear Lord Jesus, a crown of glory. Be ye faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Oh, dear friends, these few thoughts in respect of this word, and you know, whatever, it must be a word to encourage us. Whatever might come into our path, dear friends, we do not know what a day may bring forth, but oh, let us hold this fear of the Lord. Let it be a strong confidence in our poor souls. Oh, let us be able to go to the Lord for everything. Trials, difficulties, disappointments, dear friends, changes in our lives and in our circumstances. Yes, this fear of the Lord, a strong confidence. I just remember that the last time that I was made redundant, three times. The last time that I was made redundant. And dear friends, that seemed to have this fear of the Lord and this strong confidence in the Lord, that he knew all about me, that everything was ordered in respect of me. And though the circumstances are trying, when we're made redundant, no income and so forth, it must be trying. And yet this strong confidence, a dependency and a trusting in and alone upon the Lord, that we are in his hands, completely under his care and his keeping, and he is managing for his people. And we need to find that resignation to his will, that we might serve him properly through these times and seasons and circumstances of change in our lives. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and the outcome with me, dear friends. Yes, the Lord ordered all my path, dear friends, every part of it, and I waited upon the Lord for the outcome of everything. I waited upon him at the throne of grace. I waited upon his word and his promises. Dear friends, the Lord had everything in hand. Yes. I didn't know that he was going to put me into the ministry, dear friends. I didn't know that. But it was with the Lord, wasn't it? In the fear of the Lord, his strong confidence. And now, dear friends, this for you. This word must speak to each one of us, but for you, whatever changes, whatever circumstances, whatever needs may arise in your path, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. Put all thy trust in him. Never lean upon an arm of flesh. Never trust in your own heart, dear friends. Don't trust in that. He who trusts in his own heart, oh dear friends, how solemn, he acts a raw and foolish part. No, dear friend, let the Lord make a way for us through this barren wilderness here below. Let us see his hand. Let us put all our trust in that hand that has brought us thus far, and that hand that has never failed us, and that hand that has never let his people down. Oh, that is the truth. Dear friends, we may pass through afflictive times and seasons. Yes, and each one of us have done so. But oh, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. Oh, may these words be a blessing to us. We may see many changes, but to rest in and upon the Lord. I think that the hymn writer in hymn number 832 seems to, in verse 5, seems to apply to this word of our text, this fear of the Lord. Hymn 832, but in verse 5, this fears the spirit of faith, a confidence that's strong, an unctuous light to all that's right, and a bar to all that's wrong. Oh, may we prove it to be so, dear friends. This fear of the Lord, it will keep us and preserve us close to the Lord. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. Oh, dear friends, it says his children. Oh, we want to know something about this. We want to know something about this. You know, the Lord, the blessing that belongs to the Lord's dear people. I thought of this word I preached from it a long time ago, but it came into my mind. And I thought of it in this way. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and wonders in Israel, from the Lord of hosts which dwelleth in Mount Zion. And dear friends, they were all his children. Dear friends, God's children. They were all given to Christ in covenant before the world began. This is the wonderment of it. This is the blessing of it. Oh, but we want to know something about it for ourselves. You see, to be the children of God is a wonderful blessing, dear friends. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me. Now, Jesus came and to bring these children unto God. He came and he suffered, bled, and died for them. And one of the blessings, not just that, the pardon and forgiveness of our sins. I know that that is one of the most wonderful blessings that a poor sinner can hear blessed to his soul. The pardon and the forgiveness of all their sins. Yes, a wonderful blessing. But it was here where they were blessed through the blood and righteousness, because they were reconciled unto God the Father. Yes, they were completely justified, and they were brought into the adoption of children. They were predestinated to the adoption of children through Jesus Christ. And dear friend, this is the blessing in time, all divinely appointed. But what a mercy it is to be one of the children of God. Now it is intended that we should be children. That is why this fear of the Lord is in our hearts. Just like a little child, you know, haven't got any strength. We will always be looking up to him, always seeking him, always inquiring at his hand, always searching after him, always looking to him in his word. These are little children. You know, he called upon his heavenly Father, Father, I thank thee. Father, Lord of heaven and earth, I thank thee that thou hast hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Oh, dear friends, what it is to be a babe in Christ. dependent upon him, trusting in him alone, relying upon his word, upon his direction, upon his teaching. Oh, little children, you know what it is like, dear friends, to go to school and be taught, well, this is the Lord, this is the church, waiting upon the Lord, ready to be instructed, ready to be taught. These little children, what a mercy it is, dear friends, never be ashamed to be called one of the Lord's dear children. Never be ashamed of it. It's a wonderful blessing, you know, a wonderful blessing indeed. And then the confirmation of it, just thought of these words, and how precious they are to the Lord's dear people. And see, in being one of these little children, friends, it isn't just in our lives here below. No, it is his children forever. For this truth, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And dear friends, we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Oh, see the nearness, see the intimate relationship that subsists between Christ and his dear people, his children. Oh, Christ, the head, and dear friends, his children, the body of Christ. Oh, this is our mercy today, being his children. And then this truth, in respect of this, and his children shall have a place of refuge. You see, it must be so, I believe, that they shall have a place of refuge. Tell me, how have we come thus far? How have we been brought through all our journeyings thus far? It's because we have got a place of refuge. Dear friend, we've got someone who we can turn on to. And the Lord is good. And why is he good? Because he's a stronghold in the day of trouble, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trusteth in him. And there's another word also in the Proverbs, which we may just make mention of, and which is a good word. In chapter 18, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Dear friends, we've got enemies all about us. Make no mistake about that. We've got the world, we've got the flesh, we've got the devil, we've got the vanities and the pleasures of this life, we've got his temptations, we've got the allurements. Dear friends, they're all about us. We cannot keep ourselves, dear friends. Oh, we need the Lord to be a refuge for us. And we have the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Dear friends, what a mercy it is that we do have an hiding place. I think of that in Isaiah 32. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as a rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. A hiding place for the Lord's dear people, somewhere where they can flee. The covert of his wings, their whole safety and their protection is in the Lord himself, a refuge, a place of refuge. And I think of this place of refuge, dear friends, in all our circumstances here below. And wherever we are, doesn't matter where we are, we have this place of refuge. And some of them are blessed to our souls. Sometimes this place will be a place of refuge You know, we might come to the Lord's house burdened with great troubles and sorrows, dear friends, and then the word is spoken to us, this hiding place is brought to our notice. Oh, this man who is the friend of sinners, this man indeed who is recovered from the tempest, then friends, we realize, do we not, that the Lord is our only hope, that the Lord is our only refuge in respect of all the troubles, all our afflictions, whether they're outward, whether they're bodily, or whatever. The Lord alone is our refuge. Oh, this refuge is in Jesus. And then we think of that refuge, you know, that Pharisee, beg your pardon, that publican, you know, he fled to a refuge. He was troubled and burdened with his sin. And dear friends, there's no other refuge but the blood and righteousness of Jesus. God be merciful to me, a sinner. Where was that mercy? It was found in that fountain of Christ's blood for his poor soul, the fountain for sin and uncleanness. And this was his only refuge. And friends, it is our only refuge against sin. Sin will trouble us and burden us all our days. But he is a refuge for us, for our poor souls. Our time is gone. I do not think we shall be able to speak of anything more. But this fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. You know, this fountain of life may be that may be found in us, dear friends, brought into a new and a living way, a life spiritual. Dear friends, a life of grace, a life living upon the Lord, a life where we know and understand the love and the mercy of our God, the goodness of our God. It is a fountain of life in the soul of a poor sinner. We're always under his mercy. Then the promises of God and the faithfulness of God, his word to us, that it's a fountain of life to our poor souls, dear friends. And then we see Christ, those rich streams of living waters that flow out of Zion, dear friends, flow out of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They flow through the cross into the souls of poor needy sinners. Oh, they are brought into a new and a living way to taste of the blessings and the benefits of the wholeness of the gospel, that good news of salvation to sinners. And it takes in all that Christ is, all that Christ has done, his merits and his person, what he is to his people, and all the blessings and the promises of eternal life. Oh, how could we continue, dear friends, without this fountain of life springing up in our poor souls and revealing Christ to be most precious to our souls, our all in all. And then, friends, this truth, to depart from the snares of death. I said that we have no power, we have no strength of our own to preserve and keep us from the snares of death. We read together, if I can just find it, in respect of there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Dear friends, if we follow our own hearts, it will be the ways of death. There's no doubt about that. It is the ways of the Lord, dear friends. Do not, we will have to pray, and particularly our young friends, to be kept and preserved from our own hearts. Oh, dear friends, the devil is so subtle and so crafty. Friends, he is an angel of light. Dear friends, he was to our first parents. He deceived them, and he will deceive you, dear friends. He will deceive us all. And oh, it is, and friends, he wants to see the overthrow of thy faith. He wants to see the overthrow of this fear of the Lord in thy soul. But this is the blessing. The fear of the Lord is stronger dear friends, it is that fear of the Lord which will constrain us to the Lord. It is worked by his love. It will hold us to him. And oh, may we not be those that shall be brought to follow our own hearts. Oh, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. I quote one word and finish, because our time is gone. And this truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me. And friends, I pray that that shall be the blessing to each and every one of us this time, that we shall not depart from him because we have his fear in our hearts. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £550, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Pocock will preach tomorrow at our special services at 3 o'clock and 6:15. Tea will be provided and collections taken for the Bethesda Short Stay Fund. And God willing, Mr. Ince will preach again next Lord's Day and administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. Let us close with hymn 942. O God of grace, of love immense, how free thy favours to dispense. I to thy mercy seek repair, since thou hast said, I'll meet thee there. Hymn 942.
here, Lord Jesus, own and bless the ordinances of thy house this day and the word unto thy people that thou hast spoken. We pray that thy name shall have the honour and the glory. Take us to our homes in peace and safety. Be with us, Lord, in this week that has now begun, and help us that we might know this fear, this love of the Lord in our souls, that we might flee to a refuge in all the times of our need. Now may thy grace, Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon each one of us now and forever. Amen.